Matthew chapter number 22. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew, the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Stand with me, please, as you're turning there. I'll begin in verse number 34, and if you'll join me on the 35th verse, and we'll read responsively down through verse number 40. But beginning in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 34. And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to come to your house tonight. Lord, there's many places that don't have a church like this where they can come. Lord, there's many places that aren't allowed to assemble like this. Lord, it is a privilege to be able to come. I pray, Lord, that you please be with the special music. I pray, Lord, that it would prepare hearts and then be with the preaching to follow. In your name we pray. Amen.
Through the crowd, so weak and so frail, so often she'd reached out, but her efforts failed. Faith so persistent, determined, she must touch Jesus. Her friend said, just give up, for after 12 years of heartaches and failures, disappointments and fears, accept your condition with the multitude. He will not see us.
I can hear her rejoicing as she looks down the lane. She sees someone coming there calling his name.
Son of David, Messiah.
She heard someone call him the healer. The crippled and lame were now leaping for joy. And those who were blind were beholding the Lord. Would this be the moment, or would hindrances many conceal her?
Her heart beat so fast as he came into sight. Her emotions were filled with both joy and with pride. He let him pass by, but not out of reach. As she touched his garments, he turned to speak.
Someone's been healed.
A miracle passed your way. Who touched my clothes? You now are made whole. Step forward and claim. Your faith has pulled you through. Your healing has come to you. You can receive today, right now, in Jesus' name.
Though Satan says, give up your clothes to a miracle,
Jesus is passing your way.
God's still in business and does the impossible,
sending down blessings each day.
You can be healed today.
Let a miracle pass your way. Reach out, touch his clothes. You can be made whole. Step forward and claim. Faith can pull you through. Your healing will come to you. You can receive today, right now, in Jesus' name. You can receive today, right now, in Jesus' name.
The healer
is passing your way.
Good singing tonight. I enjoyed the song. All right, very good. I want you to look down at verse number 30, number 39. That's where we're going to take the bulk of the message tonight. Coming from what Jesus said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I want to speak on this subject, living by the royal law. Living by the royal law. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for being the healer. Thank you for the day that you passed by where we were. And thank you, God, for changing our life, for saving us. And God, thank you for all that you do for us after salvation. And you teach us so much in your word. Help us, I pray, to not just, Lord, not just get it in our head, but Lord, to get it in our heart. Help us to practice what you told us to practice as your people. We'll thank you for it. Give me help tonight in this message. I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Did you ever ask someone a specific question and then get far more for an answer than you expected? All right. Maybe you asked someone how they were feeling and ended up learning how they felt, how Grandpa felt, how the supervisor at work felt, and on, and the answer left you thinking, phew, never again. Amen. So I'm sure you've been there. A lawyer in Jesus' day asked the Son of God a specific question in verse number 36. And Jesus answered that question, but he didn't stop. He gave him more, except for it wasn't just some rambling, disconnected series of words. It was a startling truth, a life-changing truth for people. In verse 36, you have the specific question that the lawyer asked Jesus, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Specific question. What's the greatest commandment? And in verse 37, you have the specific answer to that question. Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And Jesus, he reiterated that in the next verse, verse 38, by saying, This is the first and great commandment. And then Jesus didn't stop. He continued on in verse number 39, and he said, The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then in verse 40, he told the lawyer, now this man is not one that's arguing law in a courtroom. This is a man who is versed in the law of Moses. Okay. So Jesus says to him, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus answered his specific question with the first commandment, but then he said the second commandment is so closely related, it is so tightly hinged, it is so integral, so necessary to the completeness of the whole. That's what he said. It's so like the first commandment cannot even be complete without the second. Jesus could not correctly answer his question without including the second commandment. It's almost like instead of first and second, it's like one and one A. Love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Roloff used to refer to this as perpendicular love. I can remember the message that he preached. He talked about the perpendicular love, the vertical love for God. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And how these two were hinged together. And you couldn't have this one right without having this one right. It's impossible. And that's what Jesus is saying here. We don't find the words golden rule in the Bible. I'm not quite sure who came up with that term. But it is based on verses like these and others in the New Testament, where Jesus taught a timeless truth about interpersonal relationships. What is found in the Bible is the word royal law. Now, you and I never hear it referred to as the royal law. We always hear it, the golden rule. But it is referred to in the Bible as the royal law. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be loved? How do you want to be respected? How do you want to be cared for? If you were that person, how would you want people to treat you? And when you come up with that answer, when you find out exactly, if you see somebody and you put yourself in their shoes and you try to figure out, okay, how would I like for somebody to treat me? Then you go out and you treat them that way. That's what Jesus said. Now, as I said, this is not the only place. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12, Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that man should do to you, or men should do to you, do ye even so to them. in Luke 6 and 31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Listen to this one in Romans 13, 9. "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus said you can take, or Paul said you can take all the thou shalt nots and sum them up like this: do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You want somebody to steal from you? Why would you steal from somebody else? You want somebody to lie to you? Why would you lie to somebody else? You don't want to be treated like that. Don't treat other people that way. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 14, Paul wrote this: "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And then in James 2, 8, here's where you find it. James wrote, "If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." Okay? Now, since a little bit, I feel a strong, cool breeze. Are y'all cold in this section? I feel that coming from over here. Can we cut the fan off, Brother Joe? Okay, this time of year, came to church this morning and it was cold in the building and had to turn the heat on. I don't know are y'all the same over here? Y'all feel okay? All right, leave that to the alone, Brother Joe. They're fine over here. It's this section over here where I feel this air coming from over here. I don't want these folks to be uncomfortable, but I meant to say that after the video and I forgot. The royal law. Now, in every part of the New Testament, that's the Gospels, the letters to churches, that's all the epistles, to the Corinthians and Galatians, every section, okay? In the letters to the scattered Jews, which is what James is. So in all sections of the New Testament, not counting the book of Revelation, we find the same principle being presented over and over again. Folks, it's not just given in the Gospels. It's not just given in the letters to the churches. It's not just given in the letters to the scattered Jews in the first century. It is given throughout the New Testament. This is a commandment that spans all time. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do to others as you'd have them do unto you. This is commandment 1A, so closely related to commandment 1 that Jesus included it in his response to the lawyer's question about the great commandment. So I guess my question for us tonight is, how are we doing? How are we doing when it comes to this matter of fulfilling or living up to the royal law? This principle applies to our relationships, to people who are saved and those who are unsaved, to everyone. So let's ask just a few questions, give a couple, three scenarios, and just check up tonight. Let's see how we're doing in this matter of living up or living by the royal law. Number one, would you like help carrying your burdens? Do you have a burden tonight? Maybe I should ask, how many burdens do you carry tonight? Everybody has a burden. Everybody has some load to carry. Would you like some help with your burden? I'm not help in the sense that nobody else can carry it, but you would like some support, you'd like some encouragement, you'd like some concern, you'd like some care, you'd like some show of compassion to help you carry this burden. It's a legitimate burden. It's a legitimate load. It's got you a little bit under. And would you like some help with, as you carry this thing? Okay, then who around you is carrying a burden? Are you showing them support? Are you encouraging them? Are you concerned about them? Do you care about them? Are you showing any kind of compassion on them? Here's the question. Do we display to them any of the things we want from them? That's really the question. Do we display anything to them? Any of the things that we want from them? And folks, you know how this works. You carry someone else's burden, and it may not be the person whose load you're helping to carry responds in kind, but while you are carrying somebody else's burden, somebody else is going to show up to help you carry yours. That's how it works. To me, one of the greatest places to practice this whole principle is in the bus ministry. I just, it's a great opportunity to go out and do to others what you'd have them do for you. One of two things will happen when you visit a bus route. You go carrying a burden about something, and pretty soon you inevitably find someone who has a heavier burden than the one you're carrying. That doesn't take hardly any time at all. You might be carrying a burden that weighs 25 pounds, and you know, and when you leave to go out on a bus route and visit with some people, and we've got a good number of folks visiting now and teaming up with folks, and that's always a help, you know, and there could always be more. You know, even if you can't captain the route or ride the route, just to go out and visit in areas where we run our buses through, and you can take a 25-pound load that you're carrying, that you're under, friend, and I'll promise you it won't be any time before you're going to be on the doorstep of somebody who's got a 50-pound load. And you know, when you've got a 25-pound load in this hand and a 50-pound load in this hand, the heaviness of this burden seems to, you kind of forget about what you're carrying over here. And you know, and you may not meet anybody with a 50-pound, you may not meet anybody with a 50-pound burden. You might be carrying a 30-pound burden. And you knock on the first door, and they don't have a 50-pound burden, but they have a 5-pound burden. And then you knock on the second door, and you do something at that first door to encourage them or lift their spirits or show some kind of compassion and concern. And then you go to the second door, and they got a 5-pound burden, and you try to do something to lift that. And then you go to the next door, and they got a 5-pound burden. And by the time you visit 12 homes, you've helped lift 60 pounds of weight, and your 30-pound weight doesn't seem near as oppressive as it did before. You say, well, that's a silly little game of arithmetic. No, it's real. It's real. I bless my heart. Got a man in the church and carrying a burden about his child's health. And it is a burden. When your kids aren't well, it burdens your heart. When your kids aren't well, a mother has a hard time being normal when her children aren't well. Am I right about that? I think I'm right. You just carry that all the time. And there's a brother and family that's got some health concerns for one of his children. And you know, so, okay, so you want a show of concern from others? You want a show of support? What do you do? Do you go around and say to one person, would you support me? Would you comfort me? Would you help me? Would you carry my load? Is that what you do? I'm not saying... You can't ask the pastor to pray for you or ask the church to pray for you, but I'm talking about interpersonal relationships. You run around and try to gather a group of supporters to help carry the... Is that what you do? No, that's not what you do. You know what you do? You do what he did. He hears about a boy in his Sunday school class whose mother suddenly died. So with a very busy, hectic work schedule and trying to get to church, he still finds time to get to the wake to visit and support and comfort the boy whose mother just died, having his own child with a health problem. That's how you get comfort and support for your burdens. You give comfort and support to other people who have burdens. That's what Jesus said. That's how it happens. And you don't know how that blesses the heart and to hear where we don't twist arms and harangue Sunday school teachers or bus captains, and still they take it upon themselves to visit and show concern and show compassion. I want to tell you something, friend. That's the quickest way to get what you need when you need it. Show it to somebody else. Would you like help carrying your burdens? Find somebody who's got a burden. And lift it for them. Number two, would you like for people to show you, would you like for people to show you, I can't even read my writing, forgiveness and patience and kindness? Would you like for people to show you that? Who among us doesn't desire these graces once in a while from those around us? Everybody does. And friend, I want to tell you something. Are you willing to show these graces? That's the far more important question. When you see someone that you know is struggling, you put yourself in their shoes and you decide, how would you want to be treated? And then when you get that figured out, then you treat them that way. And I'm not talking about being soft on sin. I'm not talking about overlooking a pattern of rebellion or wrongdoing. I'm talking about interpersonal relationships with people who are struggling. It's not, folks, how do they deserve to be treated? That's not what it is. How would you want to be treated? And maybe that person has wronged you. Maybe they have offended you. And you say, well, they don't deserve to be treated well. Well, if you were on the wronging end, if you were on the offensive end, how would you want to be treated? I'll tell you what you probably wouldn't want. You probably would not want what you deserve. And you know what that's called, folks? That's called mercy. When you don't get what you deserve, that's mercy. And every one of us have been the recipients of God's mercy. And that's why Jesus told us in Luke chapter 6, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. This is how you live by the royal law. Are you carrying a burden? And you'd like some help with it, you find somebody who's burdened and help lift the load. Do you need patience? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need kindness? Then my goodness, find somebody who needs patience and kindness and goodness and give it to them. Show them those graces and do that for people. That's living by the royal law. Let me ask you this question. Would you like someone to befriend you? Then you befriend someone. I like the little poem, you've heard it before. I went out to find a friend, but did not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. That's true. How would you like to be treated? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Now, that's, we understand, and we think about people here in the church, and saved relatives, and saved friends, and you know, okay, we can handle this. We can sure try to practice this with saved people. And I understand what Jesus was teaching. But here is the kicker. You can't do unto others with the motivation that they will do back for me. When you have that motivation, friend, it basically strips away all that you've done. If the motivation is, I'm only doing this because I ultimately need help. And not out of genuine concern and wanting to bless and be a help to others. It just doesn't work. In fact, when Jesus was teaching this principle in Luke chapter 6, He said, do you want to be loved? Love your enemies. That's what He said. You want people to do good to you? Then do good to those who don't do good back to you. You see, folks, we are so, and I'm saying this all inclusive, we are so inherently selfish. And most of the time, if there's not something in it for us, we're not interested. That's not how Jesus came to this world. Jesus came to this world to do for all mankind. He came to this world to do for all people. And yes, some of them would respond and receive Him as personal Savior and ultimately bring Him glory and bring Him honor and bring Him worship. But there would be a whole lot more who would reject Him. And He did not come to receive the honor and worship of man just for Himself. His ultimate goal was to restore man back to his Father up in heaven. This is what I'm saying, that living by the royal law is not confined within the walls of this church, although I wish it would be practiced within the walls of this church. I grow weary of having Christian people in the same New Testament church who can't speak to each other. I grow weary of that. and differences and things that take place, and somehow, some way, we're just not able to bury the hatchet and move on. Friend, look, you know what? Somebody has to live by the royal law. Somebody has to say, you know what? How do I want to be treated? I want to have patience. I want people to have patience with me. I want people to have kindness, be kind to me. I want people to be long-suffering to me. And friend, if that's what you want, get busy practicing that. And don't just practice it on people who know they'll respond. Practice it on everybody. And that's living by the royal law. Then, friend, when we get that situated, we get that happening in the church, then take that outside the four walls of the church to a lost and dying world. It's not, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. It's, I'll scratch your back even if you never scratch mine. In fact, with Jesus, if you let me say it this way without being irreverent, it was, I'll scratch your back, I'll meet your need even if you punch me in the face. And that's exactly what happened. No wonder they call it the royal law. The Bible calls it the royal law. I read a little story about a water treatment plant in Russia. And this is one of the government regulations, the many government regulations in Russia that seems to make some kind of sense. This water treatment plant, the regulation by Russia on the water treatment plants is that when they discharge water from their plant, it has to be discharged upstream. And then, of course, their intake pipes have to be up. The water that comes back from the intake pipes back into there are the same direction. So the water has to be discharged this direction, and the intake pipes are in the same direction. So the intake pipes are taking in the water that's being discharged. And you know what their theory is behind it? You want clean water coming in? You clean up your water before it goes out. I didn't think that was too bad. Christian, you want clean water coming back? You give clean water going out. That's the royal law. You do for others what you'd want them to do for you. That change how you treat maybe a supervisor at work? That change how you treat maybe an unruly neighbor? Does it change how you treat maybe a relative with whom you've had a conflict and a run-in? Bang! Doesn't that change that? I submit, friend, if we listen to this and if we dedicate and commit ourselves to live by the royal law, it's going to change our relationships with people that we're having a hard time with. And they may never respond in kind. No. That's not what matters. What matters is that I am giving out all that I would want to receive if I was that person. I could go on for countless topics. Endless topics. You want somebody to pray for you? Call your name when you have a serious issue? How many names do you call? How many prayers do you pray? It's all in this royal law. You do for others what you'd want them to do for you. And I don't know who is given credit for it, calling it the golden rule. The Bible never uses that terminology, but the Bible does use the royal law. And folks, I think you can see tonight, that's a pretty kingly way to live. The royal law. Living by the royal law, Jesus said it this way, love your neighbor as yourself. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. On purpose, not long tonight with all that was going on. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd please take this simple thought, the truth from your word, and in a brief time that we had the Bible open looking at it, I pray that you'll please have your spirit drive it home to our hearts. I don't think it was a truth so deep that it went over everybody's head. Lord, it's not our head that's the problem. It's our heart. It's helping us to get this deep down inside and, Lord, to practice it, to live it within our homes, our marriages, our our families, our neighborhoods, our church. I pray that tonight, somebody somewhere, God, will just decide, I'm going to live by the royal law. And I'm going to treat others the way I'd want them to treat me. Fix some things tonight, Lord, that only You can fix. Touch some things tonight, Lord, that only You can touch. Through the truth that's in Your Word, I pray.